Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Okay, welcome back. Thanks for listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Ed, and Steve Jordahl is with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
We'll be here for another 25 minutes. So, the had the interview last hour with the seven-year-old young fella, Ace White. He's going to the National Bible Bee competition in Covington, Kentucky. And when is that? 10 days, couple of weeks, something like that? Yes, 10 days. And, okay, so Ace is the seven-year-old son of Matthew White, who is on staff with us here.
And his wife, Whitney White.
Yes, mentioned she played a part in his development as well, having
series,
birthed him.
Covenant Creek series,
yes,
for AFA.
Yes, yes. I'm glad to see other people stumble over words too on live radio, not just Tim. Okay. But all right, we posted that video that I told you about last hour, where this 7-year-old Ace did our devotions for our staff here at AFA and AFR this morning, and we were just blown away by this young fellow's knowledge of the Bible, his ability to communicate and articulate.
Right.
And you can go to our Facebook page and watch this. You can watch it now, or we prefer that you wait till the show's over.
25 minutes or so would be just fine, thank you.
You know, we don't want you to lose listeners. But you need to go watch this. I'm telling you, and share it. It's go to Today's Issues Facebook page, and it's the first thing we got posted there.
Now, Ace looks about 6'7 or 6'8, but we actually brought a milk crate or something,
chair.
For him to stand on.
He's standing on a chair. You can see the chair behind him from this angle. But just praise God for that young man and his brothers and their family, and we wish them well. And as we wish all those who are going to the National Bible Bee competition the best, I'm sure it'll be a wonderful time. And we'll get a report from them when they go up there on how it's going. All right, Steve, good morning to you, brother.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Let's go.
Breaking news, just about 10 to 15 minutes ago, Adam Schiff, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, has announced that he is going to start public hearings on impeachment next week. And the first hearing begins Wednesday. It'll be U.S. diplomat Bill Taylor and State Department official George Kent. Then on Friday, former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, didn't write her name down, but it's she's going to be there. And so the circus comes to town, as it were.
So, good grief. Come on, man. Let's just vote. What are we doing here?
Marie Yovanovitch.
Thank you.
Sound like a pro tennis player. Huh? They all got a vitch at the end of their name.
She won in straight sets.
She's going to be swatting tennis balls back and forth with the congressional
inquisitors. All right. What is Adam Schiff trying to prove?
He is going to call in every witness that he's already heard from, so he knows what they're going to say, that can say mean and nasty things about the president, that they suspected what he was going to be doing.
Which, that's going to sway some votes.
Yeah.
Now, are Republicans going to be able to...
Republicans will have their time, yes.
They'll be able to question Marie Yovanovitch. I just like to say it now.
They will be able to question Marie Yovanovitch. I don't think their questions have to be approved, but if they want to call any witnesses, Adam Schiff has to approve them. Now, I thought this was really interesting. I want to play for you a Democrat changing the talking points. When a talking point doesn't work, so far we've had Russia collusion. That didn't work. They changed it to obstruction
Ukraine.
Of justice with
kind of like changing from global warming to climate change.
Right. And so it when one thing doesn't work, well, nothing has been sticking and nothing has been working for the president. I want you to listen to Congressman John Garamendi from California. This was on CNN, and listen to how he's changing the talking point. Clip 11.
We keep using the word quid pro quo, but the accurate word here is bribery and extortion. Those are criminal charges. Quid pro quo, okay. No. bribery, extortion, extorting from Ukraine in exchange for money, $391 million of necessary medical military equipment in exchange for dirt to be used in a campaign. Two illegal actions put together.
You are not going to hear quid pro quo, which all us reporters that have to say it on the radio are kind of glad about, but you won't hear that anymore. Now it's going to be bribery and extortion.
That is a ludicrous argument because it is not illegal. That is not bribery and extortion.
No, it's not.
Presidents are supposed to give
foreign aid. Biden did the very same thing.
I know. That is not going to work for them. Because bribery and extortion, it is not illegal to tell another country that you're giving aid to. It's not illegal to say, "We, in exchange for the aid, we want you to do this."
They have no right to that money. He's acting like the Ukraine has a right to millions of American dollars with strings unattached. Well, guess what? Yeah. That's not the way it works. And whether you agree with the strings or not... And the reason
is political question.
Is a political question. Just like Joe Biden, we all seen the video, says to the, he's bragging about how he arm twisted the president of the Ukraine and said, I'm leaving here in 6 hours. And there was $1 billion at stake. And so he said, if you don't fire the attorney general, what they call the attorney general, and then in parentheses, you could put, who's investigating my son Hunter, into parentheses, if you don't fire him within 6 hours, you're not getting any of that money.
Right.
And if you want to call President Obama and ask him, you can call him because he's with me on this one.
Right. And then brags that...
That's straight up.
Right.
If you want to say something, at least it's the same thing that President Trump did, although President Trump wasn't near as explicit I'm not saying I necessarily agree with the quid pro quo accusations against President Trump. Again, it depends on what you're talking about exactly. But for Joe Biden, he was very explicit about what he was doing. Now, I will say this. If you were to give Joe Biden the benefit of the doubt on that, you would say, okay, the vice president is wanting a corrupt attorney general of the Ukraine fired because he really is corrupt. That's what they would say.
Right.
But the president of the United States, Donald Trump, is only trying to find out, only also dealing with corruption.
The only difference between what, this is coming from a Democratic Party perspective, the only difference between what Biden did and what Trump did, former Vice President Joe Biden, President Donald Trump, the only thing different is that the Democrats are claiming what Trump did was to help himself in an election. So that becomes the question, and it's clear from the transcript that you can't prove that that's his motive in what he was doing
Ukraine. And you would have to say because Joe Biden is a political opponent of Donald Trump, therefore he's immune from investigation.
Right.
And that couldn't, that didn't work either.
Right.
So, all right, Steve.
Can I just wrap this one? I got two comments on the Democrat thing, and then I'll go on. The first is you mentioned, Ed, that it is a political, the language change is purely political. I just about said abortion. Impeachment is a political process.
Right.
And in doing the name change, they're not trying to convince any lawyers up on the panel that he was actually guilty of bribery and corruption. They are trying to convince the American people because this will now be on TV and they're all going to see it. And so they're putting a legal term on there in hopes of getting more support because support for impeachment is falling.
Yes, because most people weren't seeing the conclusion that the Democrats were seeing by using quid pro quo. Most Americans go, I'm not seeing anything there. So by using bribery and corruption, bribery and extortion, most people go, that's bad.
Yeah.
So if that's what the president did, and I'm sure Adam Schiff will couch it, and all the other Democrats with their new talking points will couch it in that language, that they hope is going to sway.
Right.
So
I wanted to tell you, this comes to me courtesy of Bob McGinnis, who's the one of our sources that we talk to. He's on Fox every so often, and he sends out some updates every so often. A congressionally mandated panel is calling on the Pentagon to adopt artificial intelligence urgently without letting debate over its ethics and human control paralyze the development. In light of choices being made by our strategic competitors, read that China and Russia, the U.S. must also examine AI through a military lens. Let me tell you what China is doing. China has designed these artificial intelligence. They have a helicopter-type unmanned aircraft called the Blowfish that autonomously performs more complex combat missions, include fixed point timing detection, fixed range reconnaissance, and targeted precision strikes without anybody being in the loop, making a decision. This robot in the sky says that guy deserves to die, and he pulls the trigger and reports back, I've just killed 30 bad guys.
Now, is that within the borders of China proper?
No, or it's wherever they...
That's how you start a war.
That is exactly... Well, ostensibly going in where, yes, where there is already a war, but I'm sure that this would be... They'd be wanting to deploy something like this in Syria or other hotspots in the region. But this is killing people. There was a Hollywood movie. It was a disaster movie, actually, based on this kind of thing. Eye in the Sky, I think it was called. Mm. This robot is deciding who lives, who dies, without any human interaction.
Yeah, if they had one of these go wrong, let's say, over Japan... You know, where they have, you know, they have some serious disagreements with right. Japan about who owns what part of the sea and what set of islands, and you put one of these over there and they kill Japanese soldiers, you start a war over that.
Absolutely could. It's scary. I think it's scary. Wanted to update you guys a little bit on what we're learning about the slaughter in Mexico that happened yesterday.
It didn't happen yesterday.
That happened Sunday. But we've been reporting on yesterday. Thank you. That's correct.
That's why I'm here.
Leif Lankford, who is a relative of the Mormon missionaries that lived down there that were slaughtered, was talking on Fox and Friends this morning, and he has a kind of a description of what took place. And I'll just tell you, it's not graphic in terms of blood and guts graphic, but it is picture. It is kind of graphic. If you have small kids, you might want to send them off to do another task right now. Again, it's nothing too much, but just a warning. This is
the reality of what happened is horrifying.
It is. This is Leif Lankford, and he was on Fox and Friends this morning. Cut six.
The vehicles that had left our community. We believe they may have been used as bait to try to attract the cartel in Sonora to them, to bring the war to them. What happened was two of the vehicles had a head start over the one in the back, and Ronita was driving the one in the back with her four children. She came around a corner, and there were reports that they shot this vehicle till it blew up, but we now have details and know that that's not true. There were shells on the ground by the vehicle, and there was a checkbook from Nita's bank account further up ahead on the road, and we now know they came up to the vehicle, shot more shots, raided the vehicle, and then incinerated it, set it ablaze, and burned everybody alive.
Yeah, this was just horrifying. I just read some of the stuff this morning, and it's hard to believe that there are people that are that bloodthirsty in the world, but apparently these drug cartels, some of them are influenced, my understanding is, by satanic rituals.
You wonder in this situation, the cartels, the drug cartels, which is organized crime, right? I mean, obviously, they usually, same way with the old mafia in America, they usually reserve their violence for a rival gang. or a politician or law enforcement official that's closing in on them, for example, or threatens their business or livelihood, right? Mm-hmm. It's rare that you hear about, and maybe there's something we don't know in all this story yet, but it's certainly rare that you hear about these people attacking someone or a group of people that seemingly have nothing to do with their threatening their illicit money. Does that make sense?
It does.
Right.
In this case, again, maybe there's something we don't know here yet, but it appears that they just attacked. You know, why would the drug cartel care about a little Mormon family going to the grocery store or whatever they were doing?
According to Leif Lankford, who we just heard, they wanted to lure this. It was a purposeful, it wasn't an accident like everybody was saying. It was a purposeful target so that they could bring the war into that zone.
Because what war?
The drug war between two cartels, which are battling each other. There is a war on the border. These cartels are on the border, and they were warring. That morning, I heard him say, the battle between two cartels over drug smuggling trails lit up. And that's
okay, but,
why.
Excuse me for my ignorance here, but I still don't understand what the Mormon missionaries have to do with drug cartels fighting it out over land.
They thought that by taking out an innocent thing, that maybe the other cartel would get blamed, or they thought for some reason, and I don't know the mind of the drug cartels, but that it was a favorable move for the war that they're fighting.
People are satanic. It's ruthless. It's ruthless is an understatement. It's just.
I mean, there were little babies that were burned alive in this.
Yes.
This is utter depravity, and
President Trump, he tweeted about this. He's offering to help the president of Mexico punish these people.
He did.
Who did this? But the president of Mexico declined.
He said no. His name is Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador.
Did he say we'll deal with it?
What I heard was it was actually on a phone call that the president made the offer, according to Kellyanne Conway. Actually, we have that. This is cut four.
Our thoughts and prayers obviously are with the victims and the families and these harrowing stories. But the president said to the Mexican president, we got to go after these cartels. And the Mexican president didn't seem persuaded. But this president will continue to press the issue. I work on the drug crisis here. I can tell you it's a very serious problem. What's coming over the southern border and what's going on with the cartels. They are ruthless. They are fearless. And they are very savvy business people in that they don't care who gets in their way and in the way of their profits.
So this is another, I heard one of the Republican members of Congress talking about the need for border security. Let's stop fighting because this cartel war, the drugs from it are flowing into this country at an incredible rate.
So. My opinion is, and I'm not an expert on this, this is just from the stuff that I've read, I think that Mexican President Obrador, like a lot of politicians, I think they've lost control of their country in Mexico, and I think they're afraid of tangling with these drug cartels. You know, he's the one, isn't Obrador the one who said we want to use hugs, not bullets, in combating the drug cartels?
Yep.
Well, that's those are the words of a man who's lost control of the country.
It could be argued that he wouldn't be the first person that head of government that really doesn't know how to deal with that violent and well-armed and strategically.
I'll tell you one other thing too. Mexico is supposedly a democratic form of government, okay, where people go to the polls and where they vote. And this is the danger when chaos and corruption rule a country.
Yeah,
is because a republic or a democracy, it relies on people to be restrained inwardly. That's why our founding fathers built this country on biblical principles, because that is the only way to have true freedom. People have to restrain themselves. The less they restrain themselves, or the more power a chaotic force like these drug cartels gains, the weaker a democracy becomes in its attempts to fight it. So what you have to do is you have to then almost suspend liberty in order to go after these drug cartels. And at that point, your democracy begins to turn totalitarian. And that's the danger when you have people who are unrestrained in their own lives mm-hmm. by morality and religion. That's my opinion.
Very good. Three states, all of them here in the South, Texas, Georgia, and Kentucky, may soon make it illegal to administer puberty-blocking drugs to children who identify or whose parents want them to identify, in many cases, as transgender. And so the law would bar doctors from prescribing these puberty blockers to minors.
This is in the news probably because of what happened in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the story, when was that, 2 weeks ago?
Yep. James Younger is the boy's name. He's 7 years old, and his mom wants to transition him to a girl against the father's wishes.
Right, and so to do that, the mom had suggested, is that the right word to use, that she would give the seven-year-old boy this drug, is that what you call it?
Yeah, they're drugs.
To make him more feminine.
The mom is a pediatrician. A doctor.
To make him less masculine and or more less test. I don't know how you describe it. To make him transition.
They call them puberty blockers because it would keep puberty from happening.
Right.
In which masculine features, including I presume the young boy's ability later on to father children, those kinds of things get blocked. So the body does not go through puberty. For girls, for example, they give them puberty blockers if they want to transition because they're offended when they begin to flower.
It's child abuse is what it amounts to. But anyway, so three states now have moved to... In the process of passing legislation.
Yep.
Now, some of those states don't meet but once a year for 3 or 4 months.
Texas, Georgia, and Kentucky?
I don't know how often their legislature meets, but anyway, that's in response to what you and Ed were just talking about. So,
and by the way, I am in full favor of those kinds of laws because they do not know what these drugs do long term mm-hmm. In terms of these children. These are drugs that were created for other purposes too.
Right,
they were tested on adults for the purposes for which they are given. Some of them which are used for combating diseases. Mm-hmm. They give them to these kids. They're basically experimenting on these children.
Right.
And plus, children at age 7 and 8 are not mature enough to decide whether or not they want a father or mother children later on in life. You can't have adults giving them these drugs. I'm in full favor of these kinds of laws.
Any teenager is too young to decide a life-changing alteration.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Do we have 8 seconds to play a clip? This is Donald Trump Jr. on CBS this morning when asked if he would please name his favorite Democrat.
Who is your favorite Democrat? Go ahead.
Ooh. Mitt Romney, Gail. Mitt Romney is my favorite Democrat. How about that?
It's time to check them. No. Time to check your local weather.
Mitt Romney's a Republican.
But he's
in name only.
Yes, in name only. That's pretty good off the cuff answer. What show was that?
It was CBS this morning. It was Gail King that asked him the question.
Good for him. That's pretty funny.
Thank you, folks.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you, folks, for listening. Again, check out our Facebook page, Today's Issues, and watch that video of seven-year-old
Ace White
doing staff devotions for us here this morning at American Family Association and AFR. Okay, folks, keep listening. Thank you for tuning in. You have a wonderful day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.